Joey, Phoebe, Chandler, Monica,
Ross, Rachel, to us the Earth phenomena.
Here is our confession,
for it's an obsession
that never passed, so we made a podcast. I'm Adele.
I'm Zoe.
And this is Friends from A to Z.
Hi, Zoe.
Hi, Adele.
You're being silly.
How are you today?
I'm really good. I've actually seen another human being today, so that was nice.
Oh, what? In real life?
Mm-hmm. Yep. IRL.
Virtually. Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
Who ever thought that we'd live in a world where you can say, I've seen another human being, and that is actually an exciting event.
I know. But not nearly as exciting as talking to you about
a box.
A box. The best TV show, the best comedy TV show, probably, ever made.
You went a bit Irish. The best comedy TV TV show.
I went a little bit Irish there. The best comedy TV show.
What's the best overall then?
Oh, I mean, let's not open that particular box because we'll be here all day.
But we're opening a different box today.
Yes, one that's got a little Chandler in it.
It's got a little Chandler in it. So we're going to talk about what we like about this episode, what we don't like, mm-hmm. what seems strange all these years on.
Mm-hmm.
What our favourite friend is, what our favourite joke is, and our general chit-chat about the episode.
Yes.
First of all, we need to remind ourselves, we know there's something going on with the box, but what else occurs in this episode? Could you please tell us, Adele, in a tiny bit more detail? Sorry, I'm just distracted because there's a very loud ice cream van outside the house, which you probably hear.
I did just hear that.
I'm now going to run off for ice cream. No, good. It's right. It's silenced because it is quiet, ready, anticipating the epidemic.
Okay. Monica's choice of dinner guest shocks. Secret Santa plans need a few swaps. Chandler has thanks to give when Joe decides to forgive and frees him from his punishment box.
Good. It's a punishment box. That's a good expression for it. Oh my God, that's so good. The choice of dinner guest does shock. It's very shocking. And yes. Yeah, they have to swap them all. I like that. Shocks and swaps. Yeah. And he has thanks to give. Clever. I missed that the first time, the cleverness of that, because it is a day of Thanksgiving. He has thanks to give. Okay, when Joe decides to forgive, because he ultimately does. And frees him from his punishment box. Oh, so good. Very, very good.
I think probably you could probably guess where I was going with that when you figured out the very end of the first line rhymes with the word box that I was going
to... Shocks and box.
Yeah.
Yeah, box is a tricky word to rhyme with, isn't it?
It was. I'll tell you what happened. I was really struggling with that second line. I had the first line and I had the rest of it, but I couldn't make the second line work. And it was like 5 a.m. this morning, I had a moment of inspiration half awake. And I was like, that's it. The Secret Santa plans need a few swaps. Yes.
There we go, listeners. Don't say we don't care about you in this podcast, because my God, it's playing on a mind at 5 o'clock in the morning. Very good.
Good.
Okay,
well,
let's talk about it then. The one with Chandler in a box. Okay, the one with Chandler in a box. Let's see what IMDb and Netflix say about this in a little more dry detail. So IMDb says, Chandler tries to earn Joey's forgiveness by lying in a wooden box for 6 hours. Monica accidentally gets ice in her eye, and her doctor turns out to be Richard's son. It's discovered Rachel exchanges the gifts she received in the past. It's funny turn of phrase, isn't it? It's discovered.
Yeah.
But Rachel exchanges the gifts. Okay. Fine. Netflix. On Thanksgiving, Joey punishes Chandler for kissing Kathy. Monica gets a surprise when she visits an eye doctor. He's her former boyfriend's son.
Oh. Meaning we get no surprise because they've just told us what it is.
Why would you do that? Just say Monica gets a surprise when she visits an eye doctor. Why would you don't do it? It's her former boyfriend's son. Goodness me.
Is that it?
That's it. That's it. Well, okay. I guess they're not the two main things, aren't they?
Yeah, I think I would have preferred it if they just said, Monica gets a surprise when she visits her eye doctor.
Totally. Yeah. Why you'd have to put that bit in there, I do not know. Because it is a bit of a surprise moment, isn't it? When they say Dr. Burke will see, oh, no, no, no. Oh, not that Dr. Burke. Bah, bah,
bah. Yeah, it's really well done, I think. I like the way they do that.
Yeah,
it's cool. What do you think of this episode?
We got to rank it, haven't we?
We
talked last time in the one where Chandler crosses the line that you like loved that episode. And I was like, oh, I think the box is better. Having just rewatched them, I think actually they are of a similar quality. So I probably shouldn't have been quite as hard on the crossing the line one. So what I'm trying to say is I think this is about eighth for me.
Okay, so it's in your top 10.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's in my top five. It's fourth.
Oh, wow.
Mm.
Oh, you feel strongly.
So I do really like this one. And it's even higher in the IMDb ratings. So it's,
what?
Yeah. It's the third highest ranked episode of season four in the IMDb ratings, scoring an average of 9.1 out of 10 across those thousands and thousands of ratings that are on there. So it's really very popular. And it features in Ranker.com's top 100 best ever episodes.
Fair enough.
Quite high. 12th. Pretty high.
Wow. Out of 100. Out of 100. Yeah. My God, that's very high. Okay, yeah. So this is a very strong episode.
So what do you make of this one overall? What's your kind of take on this? Chandler in a box.
So there's some pretty like iconic moments in this, actually, I think. I think the box itself is pretty iconic. And it's a Thanksgiving episode, which is, you know, one of only a few to be Thanksgiving-y. And you know why it's good as well? It's because it's one of those episodes that starts there in different places, but by the end, they're all in one place together, having Thanksgiving dinner, one big situation going on, you know? And yeah. I think those are the episodes that work really well.
Yeah, that's true. I agree with you. I think two of these storylines, not necessarily the storylines, but parts of them, I think even a kind of pretty light Friends fan, if you reference them, they would remember this, those storylines, and therefore this episode. So yeah, I think it's very iconic. I really like how they resolve the Joey Chandler.
Yes.
I think it's really good how they do that. It's very satisfying. And I think all three storylines are funny, but one of them, I have to sort of make some excuses because it's riddled with plot holes.
Yeah.
Which we'll maybe come back to, but not so much that it takes away from it being, it's not rubbish. It's just, you can just tear apart. It's got that many plot holes in it that it just sometimes doesn't really hold anymore.
Somewhat I've had, oh, this would be an interesting idea, but didn't really think it through the realities of that.
Exactly. And I think they ask the audience to be quite forgiving. Yeah. On that part. But yes, super good.
What are you talking about? Well, let's find out. So should we talk about the main box situation first?
Yes.
So this is, and why it was also a really good episode is because it obviously follows on from the episode before. We're in an arc here, aren't we? We're in a storyline. It's not, you know, you think about earlier in this season where it's like, oh, Phoebe with a random cat that she thinks is her dead mother. This is in a whole other league of stuff, you know, and just really part of that storyline, part of that Chandler that we really are feeling for. So we left it last time with him telling Joey, it's me, I'm the other guy, and Joey saying, everything in here is tainted with your betrayal.
Yeah. So it's not just part of a story arc, it's a cliffhanger, the end of the last one, because we're like, where do they go from here? That's a super strong response to what Chandler has done. It feels like the trust is irrevocably broken.
Yeah. And so it starts here now with Chandler ringing him and trying to apologize, and Joey just won't listen. He's still super annoyed. He hasn't moved on. Hey, it's W2 and pretends to be like a radio competition. Joey's so cute. He's like, oh, hi. Oh, it's him.
I love it because it picks up the phone the first time. Fine.
Yeah.
Then the phone immediately rings again and he immediately picks it up again and just goes, hello. And it's Chandler again. And then the third time, he picks it up and then, he totally falls for this trick, which is very sweet. And his face like lights up, doesn't it? He's like, oh my God, I've been rung by this radio show. Yeah, I really like that.
It's a bit of a friend who hands. He's sitting there reading a newspaper. Like, I think these days he'd be sitting there on his phone, wouldn't he, playing on his phone?
Yeah, and also friend who lends that a radio show would randomly call someone's home phone, hoping for them to pick it up because they would not.
Does that not happen anymore? A little bit. No. Doesn't it have like you've got to pick up the phone with the right word. I think that still happens a little bit, but of the fact that we don't even know this, it means it probably doesn't happen that predominantly anymore.
You need to pick up the phone with the right word.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So like you'd have like word of the day is cucumber. And so when the phone rings, you have to pick it up and say cucumber. And then they know that you've been listening, and then that's the word that you win. You don't win a cucumber.
You win a cucumber.
That's the winning word.
I don't know what sort of radio programs you've been listening to. They sound great. And then it all sort of immediately gets quite serious, which again is something I really like about this episode. The Chandler Joey thing, it's funny, it has real moments of humour, but it's also really serious and we don't really know where it's going to go. So when Ross pops around to the apartment, Joey's packing his bags. He's packing stuff.
And he's looking for his keys and he's going to his folks and he's like, I'm looking for a new roommate.
He's packing away the stuff at this point, isn't he? He's packing away all the goodies that Chandler bought.
Of course. Yes. Sorry. You're right. Yeah.
That's true. And then he goes into Central Perk and for some inexplicable reason.
Why would you be in Central Perk doing this of all the places?
Why are Chandler and Kathy in there? That I think is harsh. I feel like. Yeah. Are there no other cafes in Manhattan in 1996? Surely
literally
there are.
Literally just trying to rub Joey's face in it. Yeah.
Yeah, I know. It's not fair. It's not fine.
And even if you were in there, if that was the only place you could meet, maybe don't be snogging each other.
I know.
Play it cool. What I love about that, though, is how Gunther goes... He goes, have you seen Chandler? He goes, I thought you were Chandler.
Yeah. Yeah, that's really good. Because Trigger gets them mixed up as well, doesn't he? He doesn't...
It kind of reminds me a bit of Love Actually. Have you ever seen Love Actually?
Yes. Yeah. Once, yeah.
Once, but very recently, right?
Yeah.
Didn't you avoid it for a long time?
Correct.
It reminds me in Love Actually how Bill Nye's character says, yes, Aunt or Deck.
Oh.
He doesn't know which one he is, so he calls him Aunt or Deck. So it's a bit like this. Yes,
yeah. Yeah, that is funny. When Ross calls around and Joey's packing up the stuff, he says to Ross, back when you were seeing Rachel, if Chandler had kissed her, would you have heard him out? Yeah, see, you're already shaking your head. Tell me why you're shaking your head.
Totally different situation.
Yeah. And Ross just goes, yeah, okay, fair enough. I'm like, no, not fair enough. It's a ridiculous comparison.
And why is it ridiculous?
Because Ross and Rachel were... a very serious relationship, monogamous. Yeah, we're Ross and Rachel. And as you pointed out in our discussion of the last episode, Joey was actually seeing a second person already behind Kathy's back. So yeah, I thought that was really a ridiculous thing for Joey to say. And starts to make it look like a bit of an overreaction, doesn't it? Packing away all the stuff. You're like, oh, come on. But then when he goes to Central Perk and he sees them, you are a bit like, okay, that's quite bad. It's totally... in his face the entire time.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and that's what he's like. I thought I could deal with it, but seeing you two together, no.
And I like that Chandler sort of says, well, do you want me to stop seeing her? And he's like, it's not about her. It's about the trust that you broke between us, not so much that it's her in the centre of it. Va fa Napoli?
Yes.
Do you know what that is?
Oh, I thought you were just being mean to me. is it like go to Naples? Does it mean basically like...
It does, but it's short...
To Naples.
Well, it's shorthand for... It's used as go to hell. So it's an insult that Tuscan people would use that means go to hell, because I guess they don't think very much of Naples. But yeah, it's a real, real thing. I thought for a long time it was something Joey just made up, but it's a real insult.
Oh, okay. Mm. It's clever for friends to have to find something that's not too rude or too off. Because it's obviously a PG show, there can't really be a bad Italian word, but it's something that's...
True, yeah. And again, I think pretty memorable. I think people, along with the hand gesture thing,
yeah,
I think people remember this.
What would you... Does Rachel do it? No, she goes, Vaffa Napoli. But do you mean the hand gesture as in the giving the finger without even giving the finger?
Exactly that, yeah. So they have two insults that are used at different times, but I think they're both very memorable things.
What if you did it together to someone without being really mean?
I think that would be the epitome of rudeness, yes.
Yeah, you'd really be in a bad way if you got the double whammy.
So, and then so that's when Chandler comes back to the apartment and Joey's actually packing his bags and we're like, what? This is not going to end well if Joey's going to leave.
It's the second time Joey's been packing up to leave that apartment.
I know.
He packed up when he got Dr. Drake Mamori, but that was a bit more of a less sad situation. This is a real falling out.
Yeah. What do you think of the deal they make about spending time in the box?
Well, it doesn't make a lot of sense, does it? But it's... It kind of gets there quite organically, doesn't it? Because he just said, well, when I was in the entertainment center, I had 6 hours to think about it. And so Chandler's like, well, I'd have 6 hours to think about it. So it kind of happens organically. And it kind of, you know, for Joey's character, it's like, okay, well, that might fit with something that he would mean something to him, I suppose. But probably if you and me fell out, I wouldn't make you sit in a box. I don't think that's the way that we'd address it.
See, it's interesting because I think it really does make sense. I think it links to ideas of reflection and atonement, like the idea that you would somehow suffer in order to demonstrate the damage that's been done goes back to, you know, sort of mythology or religious ideas and stuff. So I actually think it's I really, really like it that it's a bit off the cuff when Chandler's like, I would sit there and think about it. And then it sounds like it's a bit of a joke, but actually, I think it's a really fitting redemption that you go, right, I will sit in silence for 6 hours and think, reflect on what I did to you, and I will demonstrate through that punishment what you mean to me. I love it. I think it's great.
Oh, okay. Yeah. No, that's very good. You've thought about it a lot more deeply than I have. there's all sorts of history reasoning in there.
So the purpose of the box is threefold.
Yep.
Can you tell me?
Three fingers out of the box.
Can you tell me the three reasons?
Oh, I don't think I can.
Can you tell me any of the three reasons?
I think I always laugh so hard at the fingers poking out. I'm not sure I ever properly listened to what he actually said. It's like quiet time for reflection, isn't it? One of them is.
It gives me time. Gives me time to think about what I did. Yeah. It proves how much I care about my friendship with Joey. And three, it hurts.
Oh, three, it hurts. Yeah. Which fits with your sort of thinking there. That is a bit more kind of punishment, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. If you can hear some little noises, by the way, we should say that is Zoe's daughter who's joined us for the recording of this podcast, but she's being very good.
This is her favourite episode.
She's watched all 10 seasons in 6 months.
You're going to make a little noise, are you? Okay.
Yeah, so he's in this box. And I really, really love it because there are funny moments. Like, I love it when they all respond to the football game and Chandler goes, what happened? What happened? And Joey, quick as a flash, is like, you kissed my girlfriend.
Oh, I know.
Yeah, really good.
Yeah.
And air hole. Like, that's really
So funny. When the only thing about that is you kind of see David Schwimmer slightly awkwardly look at it to put his hand on it first. But it is funny. And then it does make sense for Chandler that he would just be, you know, he's in this situation, but he is just making jokes.
Yes.
Joke. And he makes jokes. And Joey's like, well, hang on, that's not the point. You're just going to, you know, this means something to me. If you're just going to sit in there and make jokes, then...
Yeah, it's not okay. So he just finally starts to take it seriously. We properly have him silent and not talking. And then there's a knock at the door. And Kathy turns up.
Is that the actual knock at the door? Is that the knock at the door where she goes, gotcha, which is pretty funny.
That is really good. Yeah.
He knocks on the box. Yeah. He goes, gotcha. And that's when Joey's like, right, stop mucking about. This means something to me. And you actually, I don't want to hear another word out of you. So he has to be quiet.
Yes. And then that means when Kathy has to come and have a difficult conversation with him, he can't respond in any way. I really like the tone of the three girls with her. They sort of explain, he's in the box, he's not talking. And Rachel's like, Joey has his reasons. And I feel like they're being civil, but they're not very happy with her. You know, I don't know. I feel like there's a bit of a tone from the three girls that I quite like. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah. I didn't pick up on that tone as much, but I do think it's a good, I think it's a good way for this to find the conclusion, isn't it? Because she And also because we've been a bit on the fence with her, haven't we? Like sometimes she's flirting and she shouldn't be, or sometimes she's, you know, and here now she is saying, I'm actually like, I'm breaking up a friendship and I can't do this and I can't watch this. So I'm going to step away.
It's very good of her to do that, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think we could be forgiven as viewers as well for thinking that this is the end of this, because she's a minor character. She's not one of the core six, you know, you'd think, oh, this is it. And of course you get the nice sort of twist at the end that tells us this is going to go on a little bit more. That bit when she sort of says goodbye and she's walking away and Chandler's little finger comes out.
Oh my God, the finger.
Waves. Oh man, that is so...
What Del's doing to me now over video.
And then Joey is like, can't take this anymore. He doesn't deserve to lose this whole thing.
But what Chandler has done is proved and showed him, I'm choosing you over her. Like, you can hear the way she's speaking to me, the connection that we have, but I'm going to choose you, Joey, over her, because that's how important my friendship is. So it's very clever, because then Joey gets to see how important he is to Chandler, how much he's willing to give up for him, how much, you know, he really didn't mean to do something. Baby wholeheartedly agrees with that point. but still, Joey, you know, you don't want Joey to break them up, because you want them to be together because they care so much about each other. So it allows Joey to be the bigger man here and be a nice guy and be, and also that bit where he's like, yeah, from your secret Santa, it just makes it so cute. Okay,
I know.
We've got Chandler.
Yeah, that's really lovely. After him.
So it's really nice. It's really nice. The storyline, they're all in the same place. They're all in the apartment. You've got these iconic kind of visuals of this box, and it's got some real heart and the humour that goes along the way. Because he says some funny stuff in that box, does Chandler?
He does. And actually, I mean, I found it difficult to choose my favourite joke, because there are a lot of good witty lines in this episode. They are coming thick and fast here for sure.
And even Joey's facial expressions when he's talking to Chandler in the box, like, I don't want to hear another word. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And he does these like funny faces. Like, he really plays it well.
Yeah, it's really, really good. He's actually my favourite friend.
Joey?
Yeah.
Aww.
Yeah, he is. Because I like that he is open to the deal, if you like, where he doesn't, you know, it could be frustrating sometimes in shows when there's nothing the other person can do for forgiveness and they're just like, no, no, literally, I'm not listening. I like the fact that Joey goes, okay, I'm open to that. You spend some time in a box and I can forgive you. And then I like that he actually does forgive him and he lets him be with Kathy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good. Meanwhile, watching them in the room is Dr. Timothy.
Mm.
It's a bit like Brad Pitt, isn't it? When he's there for the Thanksgiving episode, you've got a kind of stranger in the mix. Dr. Timothy is our stranger in the mix for the Thanksgiving meal. He is played by Michael Vaughan, who was famous for being an Alias.
Yeah, he's a complete stranger to me. I didn't realise he was a known person.
Do you know who Jennifer Garner is?
Roughly, yeah. She was married.
Yeah, so I think he was engaged to her and then she left him for Ben Affleck.
Oh.
So, she had a good mix. But would you say, I mean, I just think he's so badly cast here. He doesn't look anything like Tom Selleck.
So, I mean, I said earlier, one of these storylines has a lot of plot holes in it. Spoiler alert, this is the storyline. Yeah. That's just one of a litany of ridiculous things. Was he well-known? Like, would he count as a celebrity cameo here in a Thanksgiving episode? Or is he not?
I don't think so, no. I think Alias was just after this.
Right, okay. I mean, the whole thing...
Oh, hang on. Although he was in... I'll tell you what he was in. That Drew Barrymore film, Never Been Kissed. Have you seen that?
I haven't. I've heard of it.
Yeah. But,
and the reason I ask you is because it's the only... I mean, first of all, Thanksgiving episodes, relatively high profile episodes, so you would think it would qualify for a celebrity cameo, but it would be the only reason they could justify hiring this guy to play the part of Tom Selleck's son. I mean, so I might have a bit of a rant about all the things that are illogical about this storyline, but what do you think of it overall? Do you like it? Do you think it's funny?
Yeah, I think it's like a really interesting idea, isn't it? And Monica gets to do some really funny stuff. Even things like when she runs across the room going, I'll get it, like the door. Like she's being quite kind of teenagery-ish. It is quite, there are some funny moments in it, but the plot holes just drag it into... Would you like to talk to us about those plot holes?
I would. That Monica thing, by the way, reminds me of her not yet when
Chip
Matthews is at the door. It's really similar to that, isn't it?
Yeah, it does. I've just looked it up, by the way. He was in this before he was in Never Been Kissed,
so he
really isn't famous at this point. And I got his name wrong. Michael Vaughan is his alias character name. His real name is Michael Vartan. Very similar.
Okay, yes, that's excusable. So I'm going to be generous.
But yeah, tell us the plot holes.
Well, I'm going to be generous and I'm going to say maybe the reason they hired someone who doesn't look anything like Tom Selleck is because she has to not recognize him in the waiting room of the eye doctor that she goes to, right? He walks in and this is actually my runner-up favorite joke when she says, oh my god, how cute is the eye doctor? And Rachel says, so cute, I'm thinking about jabbing this pen in my eye, which
so funny.
Really good.
Oh my god.
So she has to not, there has, you know, it's helpful that there isn't a major physical resemblance because then that would have given that away slightly. But so how is it possible that Monica did not meet Richard's son the entire time they were together, bearing in mind she got to know his daughter quite well because there's the whole mix-up on the answer machine that it's Michelle, his daughter, that they've obviously hung out together and spoken.
Hola.
Because, yeah, she recognized, very good impression, that was very good, because she recognizes her voice. So that's number one.
He does say just to counteract that, he does say, I've just moved back to the area.
Yes, although
so he was out of,
yeah. Yeah. However, she would have known him when they were younger. So in a minute, we get to the even more ridiculous thing. But the first ridiculous thing is that he says the last time he saw her was the day he left for college. So by that point, I'm guessing they're relatively grown up. So he can't have looked that different to how he does now. Also, there's some real incongruousness in the continuity because he says she was outside a Dairy Queen, which means it's pre-Monica losing all the weight, but she loses the weight when she's like 16 or something. So how old is this guy? Like that sort of doesn't work. And then when he turns up at the apartment, she introduces him to Ross and Rachel, where they're all supposed to have known each other, and Rachel, they've all been in Dr. Burke. She peed in Dr. Burke's pool, so they've definitely played together as kids. And she doesn't go, you remember Ross and Rachel. She introduces them as if they're total strangers. So, yes, it sort of slightly blows my mind, the ridiculous, illogical nature of the necessary context.
She was going to marry Richard. You know, it was an extremely serious relationship. How she did not know his son. So those are a bunch of plot holes. And then you've got the actual kind of the ideology plot hole of what the hell does she think is going to happen in this relationship if they do start getting on? Or do you want to meet the parents? Well, I've met him in the biblical sense.
That's very true. And actually, you've come up with that quite a lot, actually, around some of the different relationship choices the friends have made. And I actually hadn't really thought about that. But yeah, I was focusing on just this occasion. But yeah, you're right. If this did work out, what on earth is going to happen there? There's a couple of funny lines, aren't there, on that, where Ross is like, you'd be able to tell your grandkids that you've slept with their grandfather. And when Phoebe goes, you don't really want to be in a relationship where you can say that's not how your dad did it. That is bad.
But what do you think, oh, the wedding? Oh, you know, Richard's going to be standing there or doing, you know, speeches or whatever. Like, what does she think? What is she thinking with this?
And what is she thinking, do you think?
Maybe she's thinking she hasn't quite connected because she's never seen them together. He is just a complete stranger to her. She hasn't put it together enough in her head. It's too separate. She's just like, oh, he's a good looking guy. He's an eye doctor. This is just like going out with a complete random. Maybe she hasn't connected it enough in her head.
And in a way, I'm now thinking, is it better that he doesn't look like him? Because that sort of justifies her being able to think exactly what you just said. But then I'm also thinking it might have been quite interesting if he did look a bit like him, because then you could excuse this as her, it's some sort of weird, a level she's not quite conscious of, some weird belief that she's closer to Richard by going out with his son, and then thinking when they kiss, oh my God, what am I doing?
Yeah.
That might have been more interesting, actually, if he was reminiscent of Richard. Yeah, I mean, it's insane, isn't it, on that level? But it's very funny. It has some good moments in it. And the bit where she goes through, you know, those who live in glass houses shouldn't throw stones. This is what I was saying earlier, where I think you can mention these moments and even a light Friends fan would go, oh yeah, I remember that one. When she goes round them all with the reasons why.
And what does she say then? What's she got on everyone? What's the dirt? Ross is?
Married a lesbian.
Married a lesbian.
Left a man at the altar.
Also true.
Fell in love with a gay ice dancer.
Yeah, she married. She could have said married a gay ice dancer.
True. And threw a girl's wooden leg on the fire.
Yeah.
Live in a box.
Live in a box.
It's that just is the wonderful. Dirt
she's got on everyone.
And I'll tell you what I particularly like about that is that all of those things that she mentions are things we as the audience have experienced. So it's it's very funny, but it's very inclusive, and we feel part of that joke because it's like a group of friends where they reference things that you've seen before or you were part of before. It's brilliant. Yeah. Absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, really good. Yeah. Funny about two of those about marrying gay people.
Yeah, I was just thinking that as I read them back. Yeah, that's true. And that married a lesbian is pretty harsh, isn't it? Like the other ones.
Isn't it?
Yeah, it is actually. Yeah, you're right. I don't think somebody would say that now. And it's accusatory, isn't it? It's almost as if in the knowledge of her sexuality, he married her.
Yeah.
Whereas all the others, people knew exactly what they were doing when they did it.
Exactly. Yeah. But he did not know.
Yeah.
Bit funny. Anyway, right. So that is... So Monica then kisses him and is like, oh no, it reminds me of your dad too much. Maybe if he'd had a little tash, it would have been easier to understand.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, because I wasn't quite sure how that could remind you, but then I've never kissed the son of someone I've kissed the father of, so maybe I'll never understand. I really like, by the way, that they wrap this up good and quick and got rid of it, that they didn't somehow make this some kind of extended storyline.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, she shudders and she shudders on the couch again and it's over. And it was like, you know, the friends, like when Rachel's pouring the wine and goes sick, 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 you know, they all know it's a terrible, weird situation and it doesn't get any length of time.
How does someone look so beautiful with an eye patch on? Her makeup is impeccable.
Yeah, how does she do that with one eye? Yeah, I'm not a fan of Monica's short hair, though. That's what undoes it for me a bit.
Oh, I like it. It's sort of, like, quirky and, like...
spunky.
Yeah, that's a great word. She wears it so well. Like, I think her hair must be quite thick because it just sits so well in that kind of crop, doesn't it? Which, yeah, I could never get away with.
Yeah. I like her Andy McDowell hair, I think, more.
When would you say is that? Like time the wedding? Two. Oh, season 2.
Yeah, or that, or then later seasons where she's got like long kind of...
I think her best hair is wedding hair, yeah. The long layers when she marries Chandler, her hair looks absolutely amazing, yeah.
Got some good hair, that girl.
You do a whole podcast about the hairstyles of
Friends. Well, yeah, you could write a whole dissertation about the hairstyles of Friends, couldn't you? One of them particularly.
You could. So there's a third storyline which sort of goes... It weaves in and out of the whole episode, doesn't it? I quite like it when they do this with it, which is ostensibly about... There's a kind of broader storyline around Secret Santa in general, and then there's a sort of sub-storyline about Rachel seemingly being very shallow in returning all of her gifts. What do you think of this one, then?
Oh, I think it's quite funny, isn't it? It's actually got my favourite joke of the episode in it.
Oh, goodness me. It has mine too.
Oh, goodness me. It's not about... Well, we'll get to it. We're not there yet.
Yeah. Okay.
Ah! But it's got some good stuff. Like, it's nice that they're buying each other presents. I like that it's like, so who's Chandler's gonna got this briefcase for Rachel. It's got RG on it. And I think that makes sense as a gift because she is just a career woman now and she's got a briefcase and with her initials on. I think that's quite a nice gift that he's tried to get for her.
Slightly out of character for Chandler to be so organised, I would say.
To have out bought, of character.
Yeah, to have bought anyone a Christmas present at Thanksgiving. That's a good, like, 6 weeks out from Christmas, isn't it? So
yeah, not it's not toilet seat covers from a petrol station.
Exactly.
But then he tries to give it to Ross instead. I don't know, RG. He's trying to embed the nickname. I don't know, RG. Something girly for your office.
My favourite joke.
Is it?
Yes.
Oh, that's my favourite joke. But that's okay, a good one.
Yeah. I did find it quite hard, so in the end I struggled and chose that one, but there were some others that were very close, so maybe it's one of those.
And so they're all trying to get it, and then so Rachel takes stuff back, which leads to then, I love how she comes out with the necklace. Ross's like, can I see the necklace? And she comes out and she puts in front of her, here it is, it's lovely, this is this kind of very quick cheerleader-y type thing with it.
Yeah,
here
to it keep is, it blah, blurry. Blah,
exactly. He's like, oh, it's gold. And then this leads to him saying, you're so unsentimental, you just return everything. And she's like, I love, by the way, how Monica in this goes, we have company.
oh, we have company. Yeah, because you've got this, what I, one of the things I love about this is you get more of this little niggling between Ross and Rachel, because it's sort of, you know, it's really about all of them, they've all given Rachel gifts and she's returned them, but it comes down to this, Ross just can't let it go. And I right from the off, when he's like, should we all expect gifts that can be stolen from your office? And she's like, you shouldn't.
So funny.
Or he goes, she goes, I really like those sunglasses. And he goes, like them, or would like the that amount of store credit like them?
Yeah, I know.
Ross is really on form here. It's great.
Yeah, it's funny. But then she brings out this sentimental box of stuff, like the eggshells from the first breakfast he cooked and all these kind of things. So cute. So yeah, she does have a sentimental side, and Ross is being a douchebag, which he does do from time to time, doesn't he?
He does, although I sort of sympathize, because I kind of think, I don't know how I feel about Rachel returning loads of gifts.
Yeah, if you'd put some real effort into choosing that particular necklace or whatever, and someone had just taken it back, you would be a bit annoyed, wouldn't you?
It's a little bit hurtful. Although I do like her justification to Ross when she says, isn't it better that I returned it for something I enjoy and that I'll get a lot of use out of? And he's like, what? And she just goes, credit. Like, it's like, such credit. A great delivery of that. And you think, okay, you kind of can't argue with that. There's a lot of logic.
My favourite joke is actually the one where she's then showing like the thing from the museum from the first time we're together. And he goes, yeah, you're not allowed to take that. We actually have people looking for that. It's like a million years old.
I do really like that. That's very good. And I like that they do.
Lol.
Yeah, it's funny. And they do their little thing where it risks getting a bit too sentimental, where she's like, you know, really the eggshells from when he made a breakfast. I'm not sure she's really kept those, but it gets just on the touch of being too sentimental, and then they pull it back with that. You're not supposed to have taken that. Yeah, that's exactly. Really, really good.
More jokes, yeah. More jokes. And that's pretty much the end of the episode, isn't it? If we covered everything, they're all sort of happy at the end because they go watch Kathy and Chandler down on the street. Missing each other via
which turns
a burglary.
Out, yeah, to be a robbery. I had a couple of friends through a lenses.
Oh.
One was a really simple one, which is when they're trying to call Monica's eye doctor and she's like, I don't know his work number. Speed dial 7. Like, speed dial is a thing of the past.
Everybody's speed dial now.
Yeah, in fact, yeah, it's not so much a thing as of the past as in the norm these days, because everybody's on speed dial. But the other one was a bit more interesting, I think, which is in the lead up to the meal, Phoebe says to Chandler, oh, Ross and Joey aren't here. You don't have to watch the game. You can watch the parade if you want. And Chandler's like, oh, good. And I just thought, isn't that interesting that there's this undercurrent there that he feels compelled to watch the football game because he's with other men. But when there aren't other men there, what he really wants to do is watch the parade.
Parade. Yeah.
And I wondered actually whether today a man would feel the same pressure. And I think he probably would.
I think he would. Yeah. I think you would. Yeah, I think you're supposed to be watching the game, aren't you? Not the parade. It's quite funny though, as well, isn't it? He wants to sit there and watch the parade.
But what, you know, it's funny, isn't it? The question then would be, well, why is that? Why is that unacceptable for a man to want to watch the parade? Like, it shouldn't be demeaning or belittling, should it? And yet,
no.
The subtext is that Phoebe knows he would be embarrassed to do that with other men there.
Yeah, that's true. He's all right to do it in front of the girls, but not in front of the men.
Yeah, weird, isn't it? So my favourite joke was, I don't know, RG, something girly for your office, that I thought was funny. Just very funny.
I love how she's trying to embed the nickname there, you know, get it going.
As opposed to the Rossitron or whatever it is, it comes up with elsewhere. And your one was the, you're not supposed to take that. They've got people looking for these. It's like a million years old, which is super funny. Joey was my favourite friend. Who made it to be your favourite friend?
Oh, it's Chandler again.
Is
he so funny in the box? And that little finger wave just gets me every time. The little, yeah, it's a finger wave, isn't it? It just gets me every time.
Oh, I really thought you were going to choose Joey because he does have quite a pivotal role in this episode, doesn't he?
Yeah, he really does, doesn't he? Yeah, he's up there. He's up there. But I think it's nice that Chandler gets a happy ending and he is a good friend in the end. And as I say, the little finger wave gets me every time. Even the audience goes, oh.
Yeah, yeah. Chandler is like, he's an absolute master of his craft at this point, isn't he? Like we've been saying, his performances.
Smashing it, isn't he? Yeah. In terms of so often good. Being our best friend.
So next episode, Kathy is not so prominent because Chandler and Ross are going to party. We don't know at this point with whom.
Nope.
Or why.
Mm-hmm.
We will find that out in the next episode. And between then and now, there's lots of things you could do if you want to get involved with Friends from A to Z. You can find us on Twitter at Friends from A to Z. We have a lovely Facebook page, also called, predictably, Friends from A to Z. And if you subscribe to this podcast wherever you listen to it, then you get a little notification.
Bing!
A little Chandler Bing. On a Sunday when we try, if we can get these out every week, we try and release those.
When my baby isn't screaming to allow us the time to do it.
Exactly that. So yeah, there we go. We've kind of resolved for now the Kathy situation by having Chandler in a box. I'd like a Chandler in a box. That'd be a nice gift, wouldn't it? Could you get me that for my birthday?
Chandler in a box.
Yes. That's our podcast. Thanks for listening to the end. Friends from A to Z, we hope that you come back again.
You've got a confession.
And you share our obsession too.